I like my passion is to now help others to do it. I'm already doing it, so it's now time for me to give back and help others do it too.
This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
She's the Hackerette, and she's our guest here today on Solo Travel Talk. Camelia Britton is a travel blogger, a social media maven, and an avid traveler who knows how to find the deals that allow you to really make travel happen. I'm producer Catherine O'Brien, and I want to hear more about Camelia's motto of saving where you can and splurging where it counts. Thank you so much for being on the show. We're so glad to have you here.
Thank you so much, Catherine. I'm excited to be here.
So you are the Hackerette. Most people are familiar with the concept of life hacks or just hacking things. But what do you mean when you say travel hacks?
So travel hacks can basically be defined by any clever solution for like a travel-related problem. So it could really be anything from rolling your clothes to save space in your suitcase to flying around the world in business class for a fraction of the price. So in my opinion, travel hacking is more of a mindset. And so what I do is I help people by sharing tips and tricks that I've gathered over the last 12 years of traveling around the world. And so I share articles on my blog, hackerette.com. And I have built a course on how I find all the best flight deals out there. And I do private consulting as well. And just basically anything to inspire and empower others, because the biggest issue that people list as to why they don't travel more is usually time and money. But for me, I definitely feel like it's more of a mindset. And so I feel like if you have the right mindset and you put certain systems in place, then you can definitely carve out the time and save the money easier than you would think. And I definitely speak from my own experience of figuring it out myself. And so I like my passion is to now help others to do it. I'm already doing it, so it's now time for me to give back and help others do it too.
So your philosophy is a little bit like, if I can do it, you can do it, and here's how.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Well, that's great. Well, so tell us a little bit about how did you get on this road and how did you get to where you are now helping other people do this kind of travel?
Yeah, definitely. As I said, I've been traveling over the last 12 years, and I would have people ask me, how are you doing this? You know, so I wanted to start a business. I really want to empower and inspire others to go out and live this adventure that we call life. So that's how I'm living, and that's how I feel like so many people are afraid or scared of getting out and traveling the world, and they really want to, but there's something that's stopping them. And so I have actually dealt with that myself, and so I now want to help other people to get past that. So over the years, you know, I've been traveling for the past 12 years. I've still been working as a nurse during all that whole time. And once I started traveling, I had the urge to do more. And so I had to start figuring out ways to incorporate that into my lifestyle and on a budget that I could be happy with. So I discovered all these tips and tricks along the way. And so I decided to start sharing what I learned in hopes to like inspire and empower others so that they could do it too. And so I started my blog and it kind of took off from there. I think a lot of other people, you know, connected with that. And so at first people thought I was like a budget travel blog, but I'm like, I'm not a budget travel blog. I'm more of like, you know, save where you can and splurge where it counts and live your adventure. So for me, it's like, here's these little ways that I've saved, and then I can splurge this on this amazing experience. And so that's kind of my philosophy. And yeah, so it's a little bit different, but you know, I think there's a lot of people that resonate with that because not everybody wants to be budget all the time or luxury all the time. I think there's some, you know, the simplicity of like having like, okay, I'm saving here and splurging there. And there's something about that duality that makes it more fun when you do splurge.
Yeah. Well, actually, I want to get into that. Of course, I want to get right into the splurging. Let's talk about splurging. I'm wondering if you can sort of define where the real areas that people should be thinking about splurging. Is it the travel? Is it the getting there? Is it the business class ticket? Is it the experiences, what you get there? What are some of your thoughts about where to put your splurges?
Yeah, for me, it's always kind of like a game. So I'm a huge travel hacker and I do all the credit cards and things like that and get the points and the miles. And so for me, splurging is, okay, where can I save? Like, if I can save on the airfare, like, I built a whole entire course around how I find glitches in the system to get, you know, round-trip tickets, flights to Europe for $193. So, like, I'll spend $193 on a round-trip ticket to Europe, and then I'll get to the airport early, and I'll splurge on a business class upgrade, which may be $1,000. But since I've only paid less than $200 on my ticket, I'm pretty much flying in business for the price of coach. So for me, it's like a it's like a whole method to the madness, I guess. And so splurging on that, I love flying business class. I think everyone could agree with that. Of course, a lay flat bed, like I'm a sucker for a lay flat bed.
Yeah.
So I will splurge on that, because then you arrive, I usually splurge on going to the location. And then on the way back, I just really don't care. I'm already going home, and I can sleep when I'm home or whatever, you know. But when I'm on the way there, I really want to splurge and I want to arrive rested. And it also just gets you so excited to get on that trip. So that's one splurge I do. And then also, again, with the travel hacking with credit cards, I recently went to Bora Bora this summer with my boyfriend. And we splurged all our miles on these overwater bungalows at the Intercontinental. So that was... Again, we didn't really spend much money, but we splurged our miles. So
wow.
There's always some other way to do it. So, so to me, it's like a big game. It's like, how far can I go and how luxury can I do with spending the little amount of resources so that I can spend that on something else, like an experience. For instance, I was in Turks and Caicos last year, and we did this whole experience where we did horseback riding off to the ocean, and it was so beautiful, and the horses actually... you know, rode into the ocean, into the water, and the water was warm and the sun was shining and the water is turquoise blue. And I mean, that was such a bucket list experience, and it was so beautiful, and you couldn't trade that for the world. And so, like, you know, however much that would have cost, I would have paid for it. I think it was probably only like $100 or something, but it was totally worth it. But like those little areas that you save and you can spend on these experiences that, you know, you're like, okay, I can't do this anywhere else. Like, where else can I ride a horse off into the sunset, to the turquoise water of Turks and Caicos? So I really love collecting experiences. And so those experiences can be, you know, these amazing sunset horse rides, or they can be, you know, cheersing champagne in business class for less or whatever. So to me, it's just, I want to soak up as much of life as I can. So it's all about traveling more for me and more often, and being able to stretch that farther so that I can do more of it.
I like that. So you've mentioned the time, and it's true, because a lot of times people think like, oh, the thing that's holding me back is the expense of going on the trip I want to go. But there really is the time issue as well. Mm-hmm. Do you have any tips for time hacking?
Oh, definitely. Like I said, I work as a nurse. I still do. I have my blog and I'm getting more and more busy with that, but I still do work as a nurse because I enjoy it. But for the past 12 years, I've been traveling, and I never had a blog till about a year and a half ago. So I've been living this way for over a decade and working full time, you know, as a nurse. So I get it. I know how it is to have a full time job and have responsibilities. You know, I'm not traveling full time, some people might think, as a blogger, but I have, you know, I have a house in San Diego. I have a dog. I have a boyfriend. Like, I have rent and bills just like everyone else. So I'm just like you, you know. So I try to tell people, like, I'm speaking from experience of, you know, necessity, you know, comes out with, I want to travel more, I want to do this. And so I will carve out time, like I'll take long weekends, or I'll just maximize. And I always tell people, even if you're working full time, I think if you have like 120 days off per year, even if you're working 9 to 5 Monday through Friday, so how will you use it? And people don't see it in that. And again, it's that mindset shift of, I have this many days off a year, and people don't really count their weekends, or they don't, you know, make those long weekends count or whatever. But there's just so many different ways you can go about it. But you really just, where there's a will, there's a way, for sure. And if you really dig deep, you can, you know, you can negotiate a day off, or you can try to work from home for a day, or whatever your situation is. For me as a nurse, it was moving my schedule around very strategically. And, you know, I'll go to Tokyo for 5 days, like, you know, from California. And people don't do that, but I do, because I'm like, I want to go to Tokyo. I'll go for 5 days rather than 2 weeks. You know what I mean? So I think people stop themselves before they even get started. And again, I've gone to Europe for the weekend, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
When you get tickets for like a couple $100s, you know, which I know how to do, then what's wrong with, you know, going to Amsterdam for the weekend? Like, why not? So, but, yeah. So.
Okay. I'm already thinking you must be very resilient when it comes to jet lag.
Again, I think it's a mindset. I try to tell myself I don't believe in jet lag, which it does get the best of me sometimes too. But the trick to that is definitely, you know, well, for one, upgrading the business class and a lay flat bed will definitely help. And drinking lots and lots and lots of water, and, you know, trying not to drink the alcohol, having the 1 or 2 glasses of champagne, but really curbing in at that, because I think a lot of jet lag is related to people getting really excited, and they're, you know, cheers, and they're drinking wine and champagne, and that really, it, you know, every per one drink that you have, it's it's like, I don't know, 5 or something. It really affects you a lot more than you think you do. So even that 1 or 2 affects you more than the 1 or 2 on the ground would, because you're actually in the air. And so you definitely need to drink lots and lots of water. I bring my pillow on the plane, even if I'm on coach or whatever. And I'll sit on it. I'll lay on it. I'll put my back, like, just those little comfort for those long haul flights. Every little bit helps. And it's just getting through it and really trying to rest, taking melatonin, you know, arriving rested and ready to go. And again, having that mindset of like, jet lag doesn't exist and I'm not going to give it energy.
Wow.
And just ready to go. And really, I've done that so many times, and I've kind of trained, you know, my boyfriend to do it as well.
I feel like I'm learning right now. I was just thinking, okay, listeners, let's do a little quick check-in. So far, I've learned that jet lag does not exist for me, that I can get a round trip ticket for under $200. I'm learning a lot already.
It's always very educational.
Yeah.
That's why I started my blog in the first place, because people are like, what? And yeah, there's so much to share. And I, like I said, over a decade, I've learned so much. And so there's so much to share and always more to, you know, empower people with that information. So I enjoy it.
So I'm really taken by how much the mindset piece is really driving so much of what you do. I'm curious, like, how did you come to realize that? And do you have any ideas about how to get our mindset to where it's serving us for travel or it's really encouraging our travel? I'm really intrigued by this.
Yeah, definitely. So for me, I started back in 2005, 2006, and I had no idea what I was doing. I just knew that I wanted to travel, and I took my first big solo trip to Europe and realized this is amazing. I want to do more of this. And so for me, it was like, how can I make this happen? And my mindset was obviously over the years that I built, but all I can say, the common theme of that is that I had a mindset of each day, every choice that I make is building the life that I want to live. And if that choice is not in alignment in the life that I want to create for myself, then that's a choice I shouldn't make. And it's so simple, but it's so hard because every day we make choices, you know, whether we buy the stupid t-shirt that we don't really need at Target because it's cute or whatever, you know, or like the whatever. So all these little things. And you know, so spending and saving and just, you know, making sure that you're in alignment always with what your goals are. So, you know, I think last year I went to like 9 countries and this year probably about the same. And I've been working as a nurse too. And so it can be done, you know, so it just, if you just take your mindset and say, this is what I want. And you will see how much easier it becomes. I think people's mindset, they stop before they start. And it is so much more doable because other people are doing it. And you have to really envision yourself actually doing it, and you can do it. And if you start planning it and putting it in the calendar and making little steps towards it every single day, it will be here before you know it. But I think people fear steps in before they even get started. Like when I work with clients, like my recent client who wanted to go to Bora Bora, it's her dream, and she felt that I was just there. And I told her exactly how to do it step by step. And she was scared. And I basically gave her steps 1 through 10, you know, do A, B, C, and D, and you'll be in Bora Bora within 1 year. And she's scared. It's like she can't get past, you know, this mindset of that it can really happen. And so we're working on that. But I'm like, okay, I just gave you, you know, exactly how I do it. And so it's like people can be armed with the information, but they won't jump for because they just feel like, can it really be this, you know, easy? And I'm like, it can, you know, so it's just really, you know, saying I'm going to do this and committing to it and then just jumping and then enjoying the benefits.
Sometimes, actually doing it is the best proof that your mindset is working.
Exactly. Yes.
That's great.
Yeah, and just start planning for it and, you know, buying bikinis for it, you know. All the things that make it real, and then here it is. It's here before you know it. So that was me. I was like, I'm going to Bora Bora this year, and then I made it happen, and it happened much easier than I ever thought it could, because I, you know, obviously I'm more expert in the travel hacking and everything, but at the same time, even for me, it was a little intimidating, but I figured it out. And so once you put your mind to figuring it out, the puzzle, then it just becomes a game, and you have to think of it almost like a game. It's not so serious. It's fun. It's travel. Like,
well, yeah,
fun, and like, you know.
Well, that's. I was just thinking when you kept saying it's you make it a game. I was like, well, yeah, then that's fun. I mean, that's then it's like sort of like a fun challenge to find the best price or get that business class
that's
trip.
Yeah. Exactly, and that's what I live for. So I may not have even wanted to go to Copenhagen, you know, but it came across my screen for, you know, a couple hundred bucks. So I was like, guess I'm going to Copenhagen, you know, because it's on sale, you know, it's like a clearance rack.
This has been presented to me. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a game and I treat it as such. And it's just like everything, I think it's intimidating, you know, but the more you do it and the more you step outside, it's a muscle and it grows when you work it, just like the gym, right? So your mind is a muscle, just like everything else. And when you make those choices each day, you're conditioning your mind to, I deserve this life and I can have this life. And if I can do it, anyone can, because I'm just a girl from small town Orange, Texas who, you know, figured this stuff out.
Wow.
If
I like
it. Can do it, anyone can do it.
Just like that's what we say here on Solo Travel Talk. It's if Astrid can go around the world solo, then you can go around the world solo too.
Absolutely. Yes.
That's really great. And can you tell, I'm curious, it sounds like you are really enriched by travel. Can you put your finger on what is so enriching about getting out there and seeing the world?
For me, I love the experience. I mean, for me, going to a new country and just dropping down into a new place I've never been before, and I'm like armed with an iPhone with maps or whatever. Like, for me, it's like a puzzle I've never done before. And it's creating, you know, figuring that out and like conquering a city that you've never been. It's kind of like that, you know, rush of the experience of discovery. And I just love that. I don't know. For me, it lights me up. I live for it. I love to see what people are doing over there. What are they wearing over there? What are they eating over there? What's over there? I'm just a curious soul, and my soul is fed by the discovery of just what's over where there. And I don't know. I love it. I thrive on it. And so I just want more of those experiences, and I plan to live this way forever. So.
Wow. That's really great. Well, I want to kind of get into a little bit more of some maybe if you can share some of your hacks with our listeners. So we, of course, the Solo Travel Talk audience really knows about, like you were describing before. So not the budget and not the super ultra luxury, but right in there, that affordable luxury market. Can you give us some tips on maybe something that our listeners can really take action on to tap in and hack that affordable luxury market?
Yeah, for sure. And I love that term, affordable luxury, because I felt like I finally identified with something. Because
you're like, hey, that's me.
Yes, I was like, that's me right now. So, you know, I'm not budgeted. I'm not five-star all the time because I can't afford to do five-star all the time, of course, but I'm not really into like the budget either. You know what I mean? So I'm somewhere in the middle. And like you said, affordable luxury, and sort of like that was me. So that's definitely my specialty. And again, I think the easiest thing people can do for the affordable luxury is definitely, you know, getting like starting doing the travel hacking with credit cards and getting one card at a time. There's definitely a whole method to that madness, which I do, you know, teach people how to do that as well. But getting one like credit card that is suited for your goal. So say your goal is to go to Bora Bora. I just got back from Bora Bora for a week, which was amazing. That we pretty much went for free. So I've had a bunch of clients come to me and want to know, how did you do that? I want to do it too, because they would see me, you know, on Instagram and live streams that I pretty much went for free. Almost, we paid for food and things like that, but for what we got, it was pretty amazing. So, and how we did it was through, you know, travel hacking with credit cards and points and miles, and, you know, basically getting, say your goal is to go to Bora Bora and you want to get the flights or the hotels or whatever that is. So then you start racking up points for that goal. Like, you know, that card is going to get you to the place you want to get. There's different ways of doing it, but you need to meet like your minimum spend. Like, say you get a Chase credit card and you have to spend like $3,000 in the first 4 months to get 50,000 bonus points or something like that. And so you can do that. And then, you know, you can use that by using, you know, buying your groceries and buying all the different things. Say you need a new camera or your Christmas shopping or whatever that is. And you can rack up those points really easily. And you just want to make sure that you pay it off. And you can do that with so many cards. And so you can literally rack up 200,000 miles within a few months. But you need to make sure that you do it properly, in the fact that if you're going to do this with more than one card, that's totally fine. But you don't want to sign up for all these cards in one day to where you have to meet all this minimum spend, $3,000 or $4,000 per card, and then all of a sudden you have to spend $10,000 on credit cards within a few months. So that's the biggest mistake people make. They get really overzealous and excited, and then they end up in debt, and then it's a disaster, and then they're, you know, this was a horrible idea.
Yeah, this is not bankruptcy hack. It's travel hacking. Yes.
Exactly. So you really want to have a game plan and a plan of action to, you know, doing it strategically, because it's completely a game. They know we're playing it. We can play it too, but don't get beat at the game, right? So it's like, have a plan to play the game with your mind, you know, mind on fully and aware, because people get very excited. And, you know, so, but that's the easiest way, I think, to get free flights, free hotels, and, you know, all those things. I mean, for me, I'm really good at getting flight deals without points and miles, which, like I said, I built a whole course on that. That's more than a 5-minute conversation.
Sure.
But there are lots of ways that I can do that. So for me, flights, unless I know, like Bora Bora, we use points and miles for those flights, because I watch flight prices like people watch the stock market. When it's low, you buy, right? So that's, I know what's the deal when I see it. And so whenever I knew we were going to Bora Bora, I knew that those flights really rarely, if ever, go on sale, because it's more of a volume. Like, everyone's not going there. You know, people are traveling to Europe all the time. You'll see glitches or mistakes or deals for $200 or $300. It's easy. I can do it all day. But to, you know, to, for Polynesia, to Tahiti, those really don't go on sale a lot, because there's not as many, you know, back and forth, and statistically there's, you know, not the volume there. So I knew that those flights never really go on sale. So that's somewhere where those flights are going to be probably $1,500 a piece from Los Angeles. And so that's something I'm like, okay, I'm going to use my points and miles for this instead of, you know, because then on the flights that I know how to get for $200 and $300, then I will, you know, pay for those, because you're, that's cheaper than what you're going to probably pay for the taxes on the points anyway, or something like that. So there's just, you know, method to the madness of, you know, and then, you know, using that to try to strategically kind of, you know, get your luxury in, yeah, in those ways. So
just to recap, so the things that, you know, have fluctuation in the prices. So you're saying, like, Europe, because that's a popular destination from the United States, there is more chance for fluctuation to those prices. So you're looking for those glitches, those sales, those whatevers that will give you the price, and you're just using money to buy those tickets. But then for a destination like Bora Bora, you know, anywhere, Tahiti, those kinds of places that don't have that same kind of fluctuation, that's where you're using your points and being strategic with your miles and what have you, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's like, you know, getting the most out of the resources that you have.
Okay.
And just really, you know, treating it like that big, you know, big, it's a big pool. So your money's in one pool, your points and miles are in the pool, and how are you going to use them all strategically as possible to get the most bang for your buck, right?
Hmm.
So yeah, I think, you know, with larger international airports such as LAX and Los Angeles, there's way more in and out of there. That place is crazy. So there's plenty of flights going in and out. And so those larger airports, you're going to always find the better deals, but you're also going to find those glitches too, things like that.
Okay, good. We are off to a good start. And what is, and do you have any affordable luxury hacks for the place you stay?
Yes, the same points and miles, you can do those for hotels as well. So you can do that. We actually got our hotel. We had an overwater bungalow at the Intercontinental in Bora Bora, which I got for 2 nights for free through points, through my Chase credit card.
Wow.
Another way is whenever I'll use Airbnb, I have a whole article on my website of 3 easy hacks to using Airbnb, and it's basically negotiating prices on Airbnb. And people have mixed feelings on that, but it's like, these people are just regular people. They're not hotel chains. They're regular people renting their place out. So if it's last minute, if you save a lot of places, or if it's low season or whatever, you can save all your favorites in Airbnb and check on a couple of different ones. And you can email them and say, you know, this one's a little bit out of my budget. You know, would you be able to do this? And it's just another person like me or you on the other end. It's not like a big chain or a hotel. And so I've gotten villas for $50 a night because it was empty, you know, and I emailed them in a certain strategic way, which I have a whole article on my site about how I did that. And basically, you know, asking for a little bit of a discount. And as long as you do it in a tactful way and say, hey, you know, Molly, I'm traveling solo, you know, I'm not going to make a mess, I'm clean, You know, they're not going to have to worry about you, basically, and the place is empty anyway. Then you can really try to strike a deal with them, and a lot of times they'll take it because it's better than having no one there.
The $50 a night is better than $0 a night. Even in math, I can do. Yes.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah. So I've had a private villa to myself in Bali for that, which was great. So that was one of the things that I did for hacking the place to stay.
And I'll make sure I'll put a link in the show notes to directly to your website with that article so listeners can easily get to it. You really seem to be somebody who is all about the getting the most out of this. So how are some of the ways that you pick the activities or the adventures that you're going to pursue in the destination that you go? How do you go about picking those experiences?
I will look on TripAdvisor and see what's there. That's a really great place to start. I mean, people have reviews and things like that. I will also do a Google search of, you know, Tokyo bucket list or something like that, wherever I'm going, and look at what are the things. And I read a lot of other people's blogs, you know, and post my own blog articles and things like that, like of things I've done that were noteworthy. But I just do a little bit of research and see, and I kind of create my list of top things I want to do. And then once I'm there, I open up Google Maps and I'll see what's geographically, you know, in my location where I can kind of go through, and I'll clump them all together and I'll kind of plan my day and see what I want to clump together. Some things you need to book in advance, like as far as like the Turks and Caicos horseback riding, which that books out months in advance. And so I booked it beforehand, which was great. But a lot of things you can book when you get there or a week before or something like that. It doesn't have to be, you know, but there was also like the robot restaurant in Tokyo, which was definitely on the list. And I didn't book it beforehand. We got lucky and we were able to book it that night. But that's some things you need to book in advance, but most things you don't. The really super popular attractions, you might want to check into getting tickets or something like that, because the ticket prices are usually about the same as pre-booking. So, and then, you know, you have your space.
You can make sure that that's part of your itinerary. There's no sort of question or disappointment.
Yes, absolutely. If it's something that you really want to do, you know that you can only do that there. That's kind of how I choose things. I like to do things I know I can only do in one place, you know, or that is very special to that place. Or, you know, there's not any more robot restaurants that I know about.
Well, so yeah.
I do that when I'm in Tokyo.
Yeah. Well, my eyebrows went up. My eyebrows totally went up. I'm like, robot restaurant? So tell us about the robot restaurant. I got to know now.
Oh, it's actually really cool. I have it. It's another blog post that is the Tokyo bucket list with all the fun things I did in Tokyo. Tokyo is just such an amazing, like, city of color and just art, and their attention to detail is extraordinary, and just everything that goes into creating there, between the food and the, you know, the entertainment and just the lights and the colors, it's crazy. And so there's a restaurant, it's called the Robot Restaurant, and it is more of a show. I wouldn't really have called it a restaurant myself. It's more of a show and entertainment. I think you go in and they serve you. You can choose to get dinner or not, which I would opt for not, because it's kind of just like a bento box, like almost like a cafeteria type of sushi, which is not very good. But don't eat the dinner, but definitely go for the show, because there's all these robots that are connected to Wi-Fi, and they're dancing around. They're doing a show, and it's like nothing you've ever seen. it's like hard to explain. It's just colors and lights and music. And I took a video of the finale and I posted it on YouTube actually too. Wow. So I can give you that link as well.
Oh, that's cool. It sounds amazing. It sounds totally amazing.
Yeah. I posted the finale and I think on YouTube, I was like, brace yourself for the next 3 minutes. It's more than you can take in. Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot of stimulation.
Yeah, I bet.
It was really cool.
Well, and I love your tip about searching for whatever bucket list. I think since that's really come into, that's part of our lexicon now, the term bucket list, that's a great little tool to find a lot of other people's, what they love or what they are striving to do. That's a really good little hint there.
Yeah, definitely. And And, you know, also looking on Instagram, you know, checking those hashtags like bucket list or Tokyo or wherever you're heading to, you know, Turks and Caicos or whatever that is, and just scrolling through some pictures and seeing what people have posted, because there's always someone that's going to be posting the coolest thing to do. And that's a really easy way to find out things that are maybe the hidden gems or not as much publicized. Or there was like a secret beach I found in, again, Turks and Caicos. It's called the Taylor Bay. And it's beautiful. There was no one there. And it's kind of on private property, but, you know.
Hashtag secret beach. That's what you get.
Yeah. Exactly. So, but it was the most beautiful. And there's nothing there. Like, there's no restaurants. There's no nothing. So we went there and we packed a picnic and, like, a bottle of wine. And we were literally out there by ourselves. And we thought we were going to get so bored because there's nothing to do. There's just a beach and us. And we just ended up staying out there all day and just enjoying the silence. And it was beautiful. And, you know, we found that place from just kind of like looking around and, you know, researching around on social media and things like that.
Well, perfect segue. Since you are a social media maven, and I know that you have, that's one of the things you teach people about is social media. So I'm hoping we can talk a little bit about that, specifically Instagram. It's so, you know, it is a photo-driven social media site. And really, the travel social media accounts are amazing there. I'm hoping we can have a little bit of a conversation really from both sides, maybe the person who's on Instagram, but also the traveler looking to Instagram to get their dreams, their bucket list, they can get all the information. Can we kind of go onto both sides of that social media equation for a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. So for like the business side, is that what you're saying for to start?
Yeah, well, so like they're travelers. So somebody who's listening to the show and they go to Instagram, how can they use Instagram to enhance their own travels? Let's start with that side.
Oh, definitely. I think, you know, posting and doing stories and sharing, and you can definitely connect with other travelers by, you know, finding them through hashtags. There's also an app that I have called Travello. It's Travello. And you can actually connect with other travelers that are traveling in your area. And it's kind of like an Instagram, but only travel based. So that's another app as well that's kind of new and up and coming. And you can connect with other people through that app. And if you want to meet up, you know, you can and stuff like that. And if there's, you know, weird people, you can block them too, just like Instagram.
Oh, good.
So nothing crazy. Yeah. But you can meet up with, you know, because I feel like Instagram is getting so big now that it's, you know, it's kind of getting too big on that as far as
saturated.
But
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I think these newer, smaller apps are a little more whatever. But there's also an app called couchsurfing.com. And that's for like couchsurfing. You want to stay on someone's couch, but even if you don't stay on anyone's couch, you can just go on the app and see where other solo travelers are meeting up and you can just go meet up with them and stuff like that too. There's that. So, but yeah, there's definitely, you know, with Instagram, you can try to meet up, but I feel like it's kind of not, you know, as much anymore. I feel like it's kind of gotten too big where there's a lot of spam accounts and there's a lot of, you know, it's getting a little bit big now. So, but definitely finding those secret spots and those photo opportunities, yes, definitely. Yeah, also geolocations. If you type in under the search bar, if you type in places and you type in, you know, whatever it is, Tokyo or wherever that you is, and then you can look through who has been posting in those places, and you can kind of scroll through and look at the map and things like that to find those places. But just kind of going around and using the hashtags and things like that, and then that'll take you down a trail in a path of, you know, you find one picture and then you find another and then you see other hashtags and what is that? And it kind of goes down the rabbit hole a little bit, but that's kind of the best way that you find those unknown things because you may not necessarily know what you're searching for. So it's kind of good to kind of just start to search in your area and then kind of go deep and then maybe find someone's account that you like and connect with, or you like their pictures or whatever. And you may say hi or reach out to them or whatever, or you may, hey, I was going to go to this place. What'd you think of it? And things like that, maybe direct messaging them.
That's a great idea. I love the geolocation. That's a great suggestion.
Yeah, if you go to the hashtags, there's usually stories too with the geolocation hashtags and things like that. And you can actually watch people's stories and also get some information there. There's so many things you can do with Instagram these days. So there's a lot.
So let's flip it a little bit for the person who's fresh onto Instagram. You have an amazing Instagram account. Are there a couple of Instagram accounts maybe you can recommend for travel that you really like?
Yeah, I love The Blonde Abroad. She's also a travel blogger. She's been all over. She's been doing it for, you know, 5 or 6 years, and she's really popular. I love her pictures and love her content, and I feel like she's very real, and she's actually from San Diego, too, where I live. So I don't know her personally, but I love following her. She's great. She's another one account that I kind of, like, enjoy watching. So
we're so, you know, since we're such in a social media age, so many more people are on social media accounts. Do you have any tips for how we can all bolster our own social media accounts?
Yeah, it would definitely depend on what your goal is. So if your goal is to have a lot of followers, that's one thing. And then if your goal is to, like, get your business out there, that's another thing. So, but really across the board, definitely honing in on your photography skills, because Instagram now has software where it can tell if you took it with your iPhone or a Canon. It's crazy. They know everything about your photo before you even post it. They know where it came from, where the location was, all that stuff. So they're taking all that into account. So honing in on your photography skills, putting a thoughtful caption, being a human, people want to connect with you, you know, showing your human self, connecting with people, being social. It is social media, so being social, responding to comments, you know, connecting with your audience, and then also finding those niche hashtags that really portray, like, what you're about, what you're doing, whether it's a personal account or a business account. And I would always use any hashtags that are under a million. You know, if you do hashtag travel, you're going to get, like, 46 million or something, you know, like, tags, and you're just going to get pushed down to the bottom. So if you want to be found, you want to connect with other people or whatever, definitely keep it under a million, because otherwise you're just going to get pushed out and you'll never get seen if that's what your goal is.
Interesting. That's, I like your suggestion too. So many people are, they just hear the sort of the push, like, you have to be on social media, but they don't really necessarily have the goal in mind when they start.
It is absolutely all about the goal, because there's really, whether it's, you know, your goal is a personal account and you just want to connect with other people, or whether you actually have a business and you want to make sales, or if you want to be an Instagram influencer, like, there's really, you, it really depends on your goal. So I do consulting with brands and new up and coming, you know, bloggers or new brands that are, you know, putting out new products, and they'll contact me for help on building their Instagram brand and things like that. I've given talks on building your brand through Instagram, you know, around the world and in Turkey and here. So it's like, we first start with branding, and we first start with your goal. And so it's like, okay, who is your brand? Who are you? Who are we speaking to? And then we start with that foundation, and then we build out to your goal of, like, what do you want? Do you want a lot of followers? Well, why do you want a lot of followers? Just because it looks cool or whatever? Or because, unless you want to be a social media influencer, it really doesn't matter how many followers you have. It really matters on who's engaging with you and why. And if you're directing them to your business or sales or your photography or whatever that is, or your travel consulting, it really depends on your goal. So starting with that clear goal really helps to, like, build a path to where you want to go with Instagram.
I don't think 10 years ago, nobody said, I want to be a social media influencer when I grow up. But now that's an actual thing.
It is an actual thing. Yes, exactly. Yes.
And just to say it again, this is something you help people with. You do. That's part of your consulting, is consulting on social media.
Yes, definitely with Instagram. I mean, I built my own following, you know, pretty quickly, and I, you know, have given talks on it. I've been contacted, you know, to do it. And so, because I was contacted so many times about how to do it and what to do and doing it, and I enjoy, like I said, empowering others with information that I've learned, whether that be through travel or what I've learned through my blogging and social media and things like that, I'm always here to empower and inspire. And so I started to, you know, build this, you know, consulting business on, you know, Instagram and social media and how people can build their own personal brand, because pretty much everybody walking and talking is a personal brand in some way, shape, or form, right? And so everything we're putting out there into social media is who we are and what face we're putting forward. And so it's like, who do you want to be and who do you want people to see you as, and how can you help them? And so with that, you know, being your foundation, you can definitely, you know, gather lots of customers, or, you know, whatever it is your goal for Instagram.
Well, I want to, as we kind of move into the closing here, I'm wondering if you can speak specifically about solo travelers. I know you've done a lot of solo traveling yourself. What are some of the things you want all the people who are either pursuing solo travel or are considering solo travel, what are some of the things you'd like them to know?
Oh, definitely. Like I built a whole entire guide, which I'm giving away at the end as the freebie.
So what?
There's 13 tips of my whole solo travel guide. It's definitely geared toward females, so, but anyone can benefit from it. But it is definitely for the solo female traveler's first time guide. And so there's a whole, you know, list there. But I think the most important thing is to be open to new experiences as they arise, because you just really never know where your journey will lead. And I've had some of the most amazing experiences that I would have never encountered without being open and stepping out of my comfort zone. So I think, you know, I was traveling in Bali for 10 days and ended up connecting with another woman who invited me to go with her to a water cleansing ceremony with a well-known high priestess. And it was such a beautiful experience that I'll never forget. And I would have never encountered that on my own. And so because I stepped out of my comfort zone and made a new friend, you know, at a place, at a restaurant in Bali, I ended up having this whole other spiritual experience that was just so meaningful for me, and because I stepped out of my comfort zone. And so I think we focus on staying safe, which is great, but also focus on having fun and being open and finding that balance of both.
It's possible to be safe and open at the same time.
Yes, exactly. Yes, and one of that in the guide.
Oh, I know. I can't believe that. That sounds awesome. I cannot believe you have this great guide for our listeners. Tell us how we can get it and how we can get in contact with you.
Yes. So it's on hackerette.com/solo travel. And if you go there and put in your email, then I will send you the PDF download of the 13 steps to staying safe and having fun on your first solo trip. And you can always find me at hackerette.com, and that's where I'm at. And my email is camellia@hackerette.com. So that's all the ways you can find me, or on Instagram.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, we got to mention your Instagram account since we've been hyping that up. My gosh.
Yes, it's the Hackerette. So
the Hackerette everywhere.
Yes.
That's amazing. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was great. Thank you.
What a wealth of information. Thank you again to Camellia Britton and the Hackerette. We'll have links to get to her website and all of her information. You know what else the solo traveler needs to know is that Solo Travel Talk is on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, now on Spotify, and really any of the finer places that podcasts can be found. You can find all of Astrid's information, including the show notes for this show, so you can get all those links that Camellia was mentioning. Just go to astridtravel.com. We're so thankful that you were here joining us this week on Solo Travel Talk, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or solo travel advisors, visit our website, astridtravel.com.